This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, September 2nd. I'm Audrey McCabe. Tuffy's Corner is a spot on the side of US 550, just north of Ouray, that became popular for overnight or extended rest stops for drivers. The Ouray County Sheriff's Office says that many believed it belonged to the U.S. Forest Service, but after a thorough investigation by the county, sheriff, and the Colorado Department of Transportation, it was confirmed to be CDOT property. As a result of this finding, camping or staying overnight is now not allowed. Signs have been installed and violations are being enforced by county and state law enforcement. The sheriff's office says that the ban helps prevent trash dumping, motor vehicle fluids, and human waste from potentially entering our rivers. But drivers are still encouraged to use the scenic spot for short stops and photo ops. Several of our print and digital-based journalism peers in the KVNF listening area won awards from the Colorado Press Association this week. The 2025 Better News Media Contest Awards were just announced, and among the winners were the Montrose Daily Press, Telluride Times, the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, and the Lake City Silver World newspaper. And a question for our middle schoolers. What would you do if you were governor of Colorado for a day? 7th and 8th graders across the state now have a chance to find out. Governor Polis is holding a contest for one student to shadow him for a day at the state capitol. The winner will sit in on meetings and get a behind-the-scenes look at how the state government works. To enter, students must fill out an online form and submit a 30-second to 2-minute video explaining why they want the job. Entries are due September 7th, and the winner will be announced the following week. Luckily, the winner won't have to worry about re-election since the gig lasts just one day. Coloradans can now use a digital driver's license to get through airport security. Anyone with a valid Colorado license or state ID can set up one in the My Colorado app. TSA accepts the digital license at all Colorado airports where TSA screens passengers, including Denver International Airport. To use it, travelers scan a QR code and have a live photo taken to confirm their identity and flight information. The mobile license is separate from the Colorado digital ID already in the app, but it's the only one accepted by TSA. Officials say travelers should set it up before heading to the airport and carry a physical ID as a backup. Voters will decide in November whether to dedicate state sales taxes collected on outdoor gear to conservation and wildfire prevention grant programs. The Denver Post reports that, if approved, Proposition 137 would also exempt that sales tax revenue from falling under the state spending cap set by the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, the mechanism that determines refunds to taxpayers. Supporters of the measure say it could generate an estimated $175 million annually for programs that improve ecosystems, protect wildlife, mitigate wildfire damage, and provide outdoor access. Colorado Senator John Hickenlooper says he would like to see a new political party called the Agriculture First Party. That was one of the comments he made recently, on August 27th, at a gathering of water providers, local officials, and ag producers in southwest Colorado. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KSJD's Gail Binkley has more.
A round table of about 24 people gathered to discuss impacts of the ongoing drought. Hickenlooper voiced concern for ag producers, saying, quote, "We need a political party that is pro-farmer and pro-rancher." Hickenlooper said the climate is clearly changing, and farmers and ranchers need to be prioritized so they can grow the food people depend on. He also said the major political parties need to establish an immigration system that lets workers from other countries who have not committed crimes provide the labor that farmers and ranchers need. I'm Gail Binkley, KSJD.
Schweitzer Lake Park is undergoing a massive redevelopment and expansion project that will bring overnight camping back to the park for the first time since 1981. Recent land purchases have allowed the park to triple in size from around 200 acres to 600 acres. For KVNF, Lisa Young spoke with park manager Scott Rist on what's currently happening at the park just south of Delta.
The Schweitzer Lake State Park staff have just completed a morning of lakeside activities as part of the Get to Know Your State Parks program held each year. An energetic group of elementary school students finished up the morning by enjoying the last days of summer at the lake. The playful sounds faded into the background as Park Manager Scott Rist and I retreated to a small office to talk about the ongoing expansion of the popular recreation area.
What we're doing right now is we're doing all the main utility trunk lines. We're doing the main new road through the park, and then it'll be one campground that'll have 11 sites and 3 cabins. And we're starting phase 2, where we're going to go out to bid for the architectural design of a new visitor center and some day use activities around the visitor center.
The project began in 2024 after being chosen by Governor Jared Polis as part of an effort to acquire new state parks and systematically modernize existing underdeveloped parks such as Schweitzer Lake State Park.
So one of the big new things is on the south side of the lake, we redeveloped it into a newer area. It's become very popular on grass. We made a walkway entry for paddleboarders into the reservoir. We made a concrete wall for people to sit on and be able to fish. That's one of the new things. We're trying to do a lot of little improvements. If you go over to the east side, you'll see we put up 3 shade shells just to provide some shade over there for people to like hang out over there.
To date, there have already been several completed projects, including a low ropes course near the entrance and new picnic tables on the walking trail.
You know, we had some visitors come in and just ask for benches, something to sit on, and we're like, yeah, that makes perfect sense for people who maybe need a break. It's 3 miles around the park, basically, and they need a break to stop and sit.
One of the biggest projects was the reconstruction of the Garnet Mesa Dam and Spillway. That project cost roughly $4 million and was necessary for safety.
So they redid the spillway the summer of 25. That was a $4 million project where they tore all the old spillway out, originally built in the 50s. All the concrete and the rebar in it had basically eaten away by the water. So they came in and rebuilt it, put a new design in it. They designed it for now, today's water projections. If there was a 1,000-year rain event in the basin, it would be able to handle that, where the old one wouldn't be able to.
The most exciting construction project taking place now is the building of a campground that will initially have 11 RV sites and 3 modern camping cabins. Construction will also include a 5 to 6 acre pond for paddleboarding. A visitor center is also planned, and at least 3 playgrounds. Each of these projects will have a unique theme that mimics the history of the Uncompahgre Valley. There will also be an amphitheater for hosting musical events.
So our visitor center is actually going to look kind of like an old grain shed. And our first campground is going to have the playground is actually going to be a pirate ship boat, but then we're looking at a playground that's actually looks like a barn with a silo. Mm-hmm. And then we're looking at another playground that's a mixture of Native American teepee type activities on there to mimic the history of the valley. Some of the other things we're going to do is plant some peach and apple trees in the park that people will be able to come and get them when they're ripe and ready.
Visitors can expect a new and improved entrance into the park, more day use, and extended camping stays on a year-round basis. The yearly economic impact to the area is estimated to be between $24 and $26 million per year, with roughly 300 to 350,000 visitors each year. The total build-out for the park is estimated to be between $60 to $70 million. And while that's a huge chunk of change, Riss says there are several money streams making the park renovation possible.
And that money comes from several different sports. First is the Keep Colorado Wild Pass that's on your vehicle. The other one is Great Outdoors Colorado, otherwise known as GOCO. The other one is federal money, which is the Land Water Conservation Funds. And then lastly, it's just donations.
A tentative construction completion date for the campsites will be July 1st of 2027. Rist says he's hopeful that the investment will pay off for future generations to come. For KVNF News, I'm Lisa Young.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, September 2nd. I'm Audra McCabe.